Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our last program, we left off in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. We were talking about those who acquire wealth for themselves, who do so dishonestly, who put their confidence and their trust in wealth, who will even take the innocent to court and sue them so that they might gain more wealth. These are the sorts of folks that James has in mind, and he says to such wealthy people, God has not overlooked you. He has taken notice of what you are doing. You are fattening yourself up for a judgment to come. You are laying up for yourself treasures on earth. And he says these things will come back to haunt you one day. God is just, he is holy, and he takes this as a personal affront when those who are powerful in this world take advantage of the weak among us. God has always been a champion for the weak, and he calls his people to be champions for the weak. What does he say to us? Uphold the weak. We are to look out for the vulnerable, for those who need to be protected. This is what he calls his people to do. Now in verse number 7, James is going to talk about how we as Christians should handle troubles in this life. In the immediate context, I think James is offering words of exhortation for these brethren who suffer under the oppressive hand of wealthy and powerful individuals. But these principles do apply for all of us, for any sort of suffering we endure in this world. He says in verse number 7, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." In the previous few verses, James was talking about the judgment to come when God will right all of these wrongs. And he says, as righteous people, we need to be patient. We need to wait for the coming of the Lord. This can be very difficult to do, especially when we see injustice around us. We wonder, well, why is it that the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? This was a subject that the psalmists talked about a great deal. Job talks about it in his book as well. Solomon talks about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. There has always been this question among God's people, why is it that the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? James says, as you are suffering, as you are enduring hardship, be patient. Wait for the coming of the Lord. Remember what he says back in chapter number 1. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Here is an opportunity for us to grow. As we are being put to the test, as we are suffering, James says, be patient. Well, we learn patience by allowing these trials to teach us, allowing these trials to shape us. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. We're looking for that day when God will make right all that is wrong in this world, where he will straighten up the crooked paths, where he will raise the valleys and lower the mountains. We are waiting for that day. James says, be patient. Just as the farmer plants a seed in the ground and then has to wait. And it's not for many weeks, sometimes many months, before the farmer can harvest that crop. James says this should teach us a lesson. As we are sowing in this world, as we are enduring afflictions for the sake of Jesus Christ, as we are suffering, we need to learn the lesson of the farmer. We know that the harvest is coming. And isn't it beautiful that in some of the parables of Jesus, he likens the return of the Lord to a harvest? The parable of the tares, for instance. The harvest is coming, brethren. James says, be patient. I like what he says in verse number 8. Establish your hearts. You know, it's very easy as we see the trouble going on around us, and indeed as we experience that trouble ourselves, it's very easy to allow ourselves to become unhinged, to become unstable, to allow the constant ebb and flow of events around us to sort of rock us off of our foundation. James says, establish your heart. In other words, don't allow yourself to be swayed back and forth by all of these developments. I think we all in America can relate to this at this particular moment in time. There are so many changes happening in our culture and our society, and they're happening very, very quickly. The growth of modern media has sped up these developments to the point that it seems like every few months we are noticing huge changes in culture and society. It's very easy to allow these changes to take us off of center, to rock us, if you will, to make us feel unstable. James says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So in the midst of all these challenges, we need to find some sort of peace. We need to find a stability. And I believe that we find this in our faith. We believe in the Lord. We believe that He is returning. We trust in things that we cannot see. We trust in them because of the word that God has given to us. And so we wait. We know that the world around us is always going to be in confusion. But we as the people of God, as children of the God who is not the author of confusion, we are established. We are steadfast. We do not allow ourselves to be rocked back and forth, tossed to and fro, if you will. He goes on to say in verse number 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. I've been reading the book of Exodus lately, and I just finished chapter number 15, where Moses leads the children of Israel in this celebratory song after they cross the Red Sea. And you get into chapter 16 and 17 of Exodus. And one of the things that jumps out immediately are three times when we are told the children of Israel complained. Here they have been delivered from the greatest civilization on the face of the earth at that time. The armies of Pharaoh had been vanquished in the waters of the Red Sea. The children of Israel had been freed from slavery. And almost immediately, they begin to complain about their circumstances. We need to guard against this as well. James says, do not grumble against one another, lest you be condemned. God does not like complainers. He does not like people who cannot be content with their circumstances, especially in light of all that He has done for us. One of the keys, it seems to me, of contentment is recognizing all that God has done for us and all that He promises to do for us in the future. This, I believe, can teach us contentment. Looking back on the ways that God has provided for us and knowing that in the future, He will take care of us. Do not grumble, do not complain. And if we do, the judge stands at the door. So it's not just the rich who need to be aware of their conduct. It's not just the rich who need to examine their hearts. It's the righteous as well. Those who are following after the Lord need to recognize that the judgment is coming. All of this should remind us of what He was talking about back in chapter number 4. Our life is a vapor. If we spend our time day to day complaining and grumbling, Our life is going to pass very quickly, and all of a sudden we're going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are going to have to give an account for all those things that we said. He says in verse number 10, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." We don't know, at least from the scriptures, much about the lives of the prophets and in particular how they suffered. We get a few little tidbits here and there. Some of the things that God called these prophets to do are just amazing. We see, for instance, that Jeremiah, who prophesied in the days leading up to the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah was an outcast of society. He was shunned by most of the Jewish public. He was condemned by the king of Judah and by the ruling class as well. He was contradicted by false prophets who prophesied the exact opposite of what he was saying. And Jeremiah talks about how miserable his existence was. In fact, he says at one point that he just shut the word of God up in his heart because he didn't want to talk about it anymore. Everyone hated him. This was a man who suffered for decades and whose life ended by being kidnapped and hauled off to Egypt, and we don't really know how he died. But Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 talks about all the prophets who had been killed by the children of Israel down through the centuries. God had sent them prophet after prophet, and all they had done is mistreat them and put them to death. James says, look at these men who suffered for the sake of the Lord. Hold them in esteem. Look to them as an example of how you are to live. God is compassionate and merciful, as James reminds us. He will take care of us. We may suffer in this life. We may have to pay a very heavy price for following after Him. And yet, at the end, there is compassion. There is mercy. There is a reward that awaits. And if we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, we have a promise of riches that will endure for an eternity. So, my friends, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that faith in Jesus Christ saves our souls. God has always valued faith above all other things, from Noah to Abraham to Rahab to David. We see examples of God favoring people who believe in Him. This is why God chose to save those who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, but you're not sure what to do next, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.